Thank you very much, Wes. I do appreciate that. I was listening to one of the things I hate doing. I've done it one time before when I was in seminary. We were forced beyond our control. We had to listen to our own message in seminary. But I was listening the other day to one because I want to take the study in the gospel series and make that a gospel special instead of part of Romans. I don't want to be in Romans 1 for 50 lessons. That just isn't good. James Langston and I were trying to figure out when I was listening to one, and I just don't like my voice. I bet Paul's glad he didn't have to listen to a tape recorder or listen to his voice. That would even be worse. I thought they learned something. That isn't funny, John. Or even better, I go, man, that's pretty good. That guy's good. Okay. Need your prayers. Got a call today from my good friend and y'all's friend, David Smith, called. And he was here just two Sundays ago. And when he was here, we were just talking. I said, man, you're holding your weight good and all. And he said, well, hadn't been able to work out, hadn't done a lot, and I'm in a lot of pain. And we talked a little bit about it, but on a weekend like that, there's just so much, and then he swooshes off. Well, I got an email today that it got so bad that he's been going in for tests, and at this point, they think it might be Lyme disease, L-Y-M-E. Now, if it is, that means they didn't catch it early, because he's been this way for months and months. And he lives in a wooded area, and he's always out there. And as you know, Dave, he's very active outside and goes out and does all kinds of things. And after he called, I have a couple of resource books that I go to, and Wisconsin is one of the six states in the United States where that is a prevalent disease, and Wisconsin is. And then some of the other states are mostly around Wisconsin. And it can have some pretty severe repercussions if it's not taken care of. If you catch it early, apparently, if you catch it early, it's okay. But if you don't, it can be a lot of problems. And so please be in prayer for our friend David Smith, and that if it is that, then that we can get it going and find out some things and see if we can get it under control. There's a lot of things that can happen. Arthritis can set in, heart problem can set in, spleen problem can set in. There's just a lot of problems that can set in if you don't catch it early. And like I said, I don't think we've caught it really early. But so please be in prayer for David. He doesn't do that very often, call and ask for prayer or email me for prayer, but he did this time. And so let's be in prayer for David Smith. And will you please see that Leslie knows for the prayer list and all. I appreciate it. Okay. Yes. Mike Jacob. Not a blood clot.
No.
Okay.
It's an infection
to come from the surgery. Okay.
spraying it and all sorts of things. And now they're afraid that it's gone in his bones. If he has an infection in his bones, this particular infection, he will die.
Yeah. And his name is
His name is Mike.
Let's be in prayer for Mike. Is he married?
No, not me.
Okay.
Yes.
He is a believer. Well, we need to be in prayer for Mike and whatever God is doing in his life and other people around him. We definitely need to be in prayer. There are just so many things that happen in the area of the body in the world today. So we need to be in prayer. Medicine can do so much, and it can only do so much, and then there's so much that we need to do ourselves. And so be in prayer for Mike. Please continue to be in prayer for Nancy Becker as she continues to work through pain. Be in prayer for Vic Edwards and his neighbor, the problems there. Any other prayer requests that I'm not aware of? Apparently just diagnosed today. Oh, he's been having pain. That's what he told me. Because I was commenting on how well he was holding his weight down and all. And he came in and in the kitchen. And that's when he told me, he said, well, I haven't been able to work out for months. I haven't been able to do anything. So I've been in pain. And I went, wow, Dave, you don't act like it. And it's the way you learn to handle that and adjust to it. And Nancy adjusts the pain. My friend Dave Smith, I don't adjust the pain, Jim. I get pain and you're going to know about it. I'm going to shout and holler. And everybody's going to know it. And I'm going to try anything. Try voodoo dolls. Let me have that sucker. I'll do anything. I don't like pain. I'm not into pain. Pain's not fun. Oh, man. Gee. So, we need to be in prayer for Dave and for all these people. We need to be in prayer for Nathan. We need to be in prayer for Amber. And just be in prayer for each other as we are in this battle that we are involved in. Okay. Physical pain. That's severe. But right now we're looking in the Gospel of John 14:1 at a troubled heart. Now we're into another battlefield. We're inside the soul, invisible realm. I feel so sorry for America, and I do mean that. I grew up loving this country, waving the flag, but America is changing almost daily before our eyes. I don't know if you saw the ceremony at Virginia Tech. The primary guy was a Muslim. And you just got to know that in Virginia, the primary religion is the Muslim religion. I mean, it's in the heart of the Bible Belt. The Lutheran who represented the Protestants did not mention God, did not mention Jesus Christ, did not mention the resurrection, gave no hope. This is where our country is.
And the Buddhist.
Well, I know the Islamic guy spoke in both Islamic and Hebrew. Yeah, he spoke in two languages, and I'm sorry. This as we saw last night, I think this country's going quicker than I thought, and it. Nope, don't make no predictions. I said I think, and that's why I don't think it's any issue in tribulation. I don't think America, people, where's America in tribulation? We're not there. We're a fourth world country. We won't matter if we're in here at all. And it's no surprise to me that America is not spoken of. And the whole continent, Canada, America, Mexico, And God help anybody that puts their hope in a man, George Bush or anybody. He's as bad as any of them. We don't understand what about the Middle East and we've read it, and maybe we need to go back over and study it. Those people, the Bible tells you, will always fight one another. And you're not going to change that. You're not going to change it. I don't care who you are other than Jesus Christ Himself when He returns again. But until then, they are going to do it. And you just have to build the thing around it. But anyway, the world's in a real mess. And here's the solution. The problem is spiritual. What happened in Virginia is spiritual. And I'm not even talking about the shooting. I'm talking about after the shooting. I'm talking about after the shooting is a tragedy in Virginia. Isaiah 61. Let's begin with a word of prayer. The purpose of our prayer is to orient ourselves to what we're doing here, orienting ourselves to the power of God, the Holy Spirit, and the leading of the Spirit for understanding clarity of Scripture. Let's pray. Our country has a troubled heart. Our country is moving so quickly into spiritual darkness. And the solution Heavenly Father has given to us by our Savior in dealing with the individual. And this is the place where it is going to be strengthened, if it's going to be strengthened at all, is in the soul, in the heart of each individual. But Heavenly Father, whether or not the mass of America turns to the truth, each of us individually have to decide what we're going to do with our lives. What we're going to do with our spiritual life, our marriage, our church. So I pray, Father, that tonight Your Spirit will lead us as we study these things and guide us to what really is important. Our ministry, Heavenly Father, is not reactionary. Not going to react to the things happening in America. I'm just simply going to proclaim the solution. We can't get angry. We can't fall apart. And we can't throw up our hands and walk away. Each of us individually, Heavenly Father, guided by the Holy Spirit, to walk as You would have us to walk. To decide our own system of values, no matter what the nation says. We have to decide who is Jesus Christ, who You are, who is Your Spirit. And we here, Heavenly Father, have made the decision that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Jesus Christ is God and man in one. And His tenure on earth. Given to us. Pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. John chapter 14 verse 1 starts off, "Let not your heart be troubled." Jesus Christ is uttering these words. He has the solution. This is the business that He is in. Look at Isaiah 61 verse 1. "The Spirit of the Lord God." This is the Holy Spirit of the Lord God, God the Father, is upon me, Jesus Christ. Now why? because the Lord, that's God the Father, He is our Lord, has anointed me. Beautiful word, anointing. Now look what He's anointed him to do. To bring good news. This is the gospel, by the way. To bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. In John, let not your heart be troubled. Jesus Christ is in the heart-mending business. I have no problem when we have physical problems us going to God in prayer. I have no problem in God to mend this, help this, heal this, if it be fitting to your will. But I want you to understand something, people, that He was sent to deal with a real problem. And the physical things that we endure often are just pictures and things of what's going on in the soul. And this is where the great physician is sent to heal. So it says in our passage in Isaiah 61, He has sent me. This is His commission on earth. He has sent me to bind up, to heal the brokenhearted. Now we often think of a broken heart in regard, one, to romance, and then secondly, death. But this is a even more severe broken heart. This is a broken heart of helplessness. How am I going to have eternal life? How can I get stability in my soul about myself? What is my life all about? This is the heart inside of all human beings. To bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives and freedom to the prisoners. And we're all prisoners of the law. We're all prisoners of the flesh. We're all prisoners in Satan's kingdom of darkness. And He has set us free. Now, let's go back to our passage in John 14. Gospel of John 14. Now, we are looking at, let not your heart be troubled. And we've looked at the present active imperative of tarasso, not be troubled. And we studied how the word means to be agitated, stirred, and their soul is so stirred because He is going to leave. Uncertainty, fear. People that were in this passage, we're not talking about salvation, eternal life salvation. And in fact, we're really not even talking about experiential salvation. We're talking about, you look at your life and you wonder what in the world is going on. They're bewildered and they have a troubled heart, a troubled soul. Everything, it isn't working the way they thought it would work. Here's the Messiah. He's coming. He's going to bring in the kingdom and all of that. But no, He says He's going to leave and we can't go with Him. And all these things are going on and there's a great fear and a great confusion. And this is what He is dealing with. And so He comes with a wonderful solution. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Now, I know many people get tired of hearing that faith is the solution. And they get tired because they feel that we must do something. Well, let's move on. What's after that? There's nothing after that, people. It's that simple. No matter what we study, this is going to be the message that we're going to get out of it. All the time, all God desires is our faith. That's what He desires, is for us to trust Him. That is the solution to a broken heart. That is the solution to bewilderment. That is the solution when you don't know what God is doing. It doesn't look like He loves you. It doesn't look like He cares. Your marriage is falling apart. Your health is falling apart. Your finances are falling apart. Your life is falling apart. Many Americans are experiencing these things now. And they're running to everything, to the Muslim religion. They're running to voodoo. They're running to all kinds of things because you've rejected the truth. You reject the truth, you'll be shocked what you'll accept. They run to drugs and to alcohol. That's the solution in our society today. I was reading some more. Our children today, give them drugs. Give them this for this problem. Give them that. You got to get drugs. We don't know how to handle our own problems. We don't know what to do with a broken heart. And by broken heart, I mean bewilderment of what in the world is going to happen to me. And here's the solution. Simple faith. It's that powerful. Will you just trust me when there's no reason to trust me? We trust God. We trust in Jesus Christ. We trust in the Holy Spirit. Out of His love for us, Jesus Christ here commands faith, which will give great hope. It will give great confidence. It calms the soul. You start calming down and get oriented to who and what God is. And you start putting your faith in the Holy Spirit. You believe in God the Father and sending the Son. You believe in what the Son has said and sending the Spirit. And you just trust His Spirit. And you have that be the meditation of your soul, of your mind. And then pretty soon, the supernatural peace starts coming through your soul. Supernatural joy. And why do we know it's supernatural? Because my surroundings do not give it. See, sometimes if everything is going great, I don't really know, is the inner happiness and the inner peace from the Spirit or from circumstance? It's a little muddy. But boy, do I know it when circumstances demand it ought to be terrible. And yet there's a calmness. There's a peace. You know that's supernatural. You trust in the Holy Spirit. And all that He ever wants is this grain of mustard seed. Again, I want you to just think about it. What did a grain of mustard seed get you when you were an unbeliever, an enemy of God, and you believed in Jesus Christ? It got you eternal salvation. It got you the 34 things that we studied under Who You Are in Christ, being in the SAD series. Now, think of what a grain of mustard seed will get for you as a believer. In a moment by moment, grain of mustard seed. And people, it's tough. I'm not going to sit here and belittle these disciples. I'm not going to say, oh, I would have done better. No. Those of you that have been here, been in this bewilderment state, it's just, the battle is just moment by moment to stay here. Keep your mind set on Him, not on your circumstances, not on what people are doing or saying or what you don't have or how this is happening and that's happening in your life. It's so easy to get your mind on all these things. And then if you have friends like Job, it's impossible because they're sitting there browbeating you. And there's the real battle continuing in that horrible place. But Jesus Christ says, believe in God, also believe in me. He is not speaking of eternal life salvation. These men are saved. Judas is not present. Judas Iscariot is not present. These men are saved. This is the faith for the believer in our Christian life. On the right side of the cross, our lives are like to be lived in the same way we received Him, by faith. I don't know your individual, some of you I do, but your individual salvation story. Some it was not dramatic, some it was dramatic, and some it was one time or another time. But, well, you just think of, He saved me. I don't know. Be lived in that same way. This is why the gospel is for Christians, people. That's why we say the gospel for Christians. This is why we're to live the same by the same gospel by which we're saved. Just trusting Him. The gospel solves our problems as unbelievers, and now the gospel solves our problem as believers. So let's take a look at the words of Jesus Christ at this point. Believe in me, present imperative of pistuo. P-I-S-T-E-U long O. Pistuo. Now, pistuo is used some 220 times. It's easy to do in today's world with computers. 220 verses in the New Testament. Some 90 of them are in the Gospel of John. So probably what it'd be about 43% is in the Gospel of John itself. Of this word, use of this word. For John, faith is the battle. Faith is the battle for the unbeliever. It is the battle for the believer. Eternal future is uncertain for the unbeliever, and now the immediate future is uncertain for the disciples. And right now, the future looks very dim for them, for the disciples. So Jesus Christ encourages them to trust Him. Just trust me. You don't know all that's going on. You just trust me. I'll take care of everything. That's what He's saying. Look at verse 21 in chapter 14. He who has my commandments and keeps them, and what is his commandment? Now we just had it. Trust me. He it is who loves me, and he who loves me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him, and will disclose myself to him. And if we just think about God, and he will disclose himself to us, this is an extremely powerful concept. He's talking about love, as I loved in the previous chapter of 13, 34, 35, and now faith. We are in a section of John dealing with the church, and over, faith is going to be the issue. Let's take a look. John 13:19, very quickly. Let's just go through some things close at hand. 13:19. From now on, I am telling you before it comes to pass, so that when it does occur, you may believe that I am He, that I am. Now, again, this is not salvation. This is not salvation. This is that faith, just trusting Him in my life. Trusting Him that if I just trust the Spirit, that these things will become a reality. And then you have in chapter 14:1, and now look at verse 10 in chapter 14. Do you not believe? There's faith as a battle. I am in the Father is in me. The words that I say to you, I do not speak of my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his works. Verse 11, believe, there's the battle. Believe in me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Believe me, I'm telling you these things. Otherwise, believe on account of the words. Verse 12, truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes, there's the battle in me. The works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to be with the Father. Verse 29 continues it. And now I have told you before the things come to pass, and when they come to pass, you may believe. There's no way we can miss it, but that's the battle. Now, the Old Testament lived the same way, people. The Old Testament believers lived the same way by trusting God, that He would save, that He would solve the problem. They had the same bewilderment. They had the same troubled heart. I know sometimes you wonder why I turn to it, but it's some of my favorite passages. I want to show you a troubled heart. Maybe we've never looked at it this way, so let's look at it this way. Find Habakkuk. Let's go back to Habakkuk, man. I want to show you a troubled heart. Show you a troubled heart of somebody who loves Jerusalem, loves the Lord. Let's look at, if you remember Zephaniah, you'll find Habakkuk before Zephaniah. And I want to look at Habakkuk 1. I'll show you a troubled heart. What's a troubled heart look like? This is what a troubled heart looks like. Troubled heart is not a hang-loose song. Well, that is a troubled heart that God will work with, but that's not what we're talking about here at all. This is a real troubled heart, a spiritual. Let's take a look. First one, the oracle which Habakkuk the prophet saw. How long? Now here's a troubled cry of a broken heart. How long, O Lord, will I call for help? He's troubled. violence, yet thou dost not deliver. I think you and I will be saying this about America more and more and more, but that's taking it into our time. Look at verse 3. Why? See verse 2, how long? Verse 3, why? Why? It's a troubled heart. Why is this happening? Why dost thou make me see iniquity and cause me to look on wickedness, the things that are happening in his country, the idolatry that is moving into the temple? That's the wickedness he's talking about. Destruction and violence are before me. Strife exists and contention arises. Now, Habakkuk saying this about the nation of Israel, Jerusalem, you and I are going to be saying it about America. And once you look at the answer that he's going to get, what's the answer? People, it's the very same answer that we're having in the Gospel of John 14:1. Would you look at chapter 2? And let's just get right to the verse and not even warm up to it. 2:4. Behold, as for the arrogant one, his soul is not right within him, but the righteous will live by faith. What did Christ say? Faith. What's he say to Habakkuk? Just trust me. Just think about Habakkuk. The answer. How long is this going to... Why is this happening in Jerusalem? Why is this happening to this nation? How long is this going to go on? How long are you going to put up with it? How long is this going to happen? And what is the answer? You just trust me. You just trust me. That's all that we can do. That's all that Habakkuk can do. And Habakkuk is going to do that. He's going to live by that righteousness. He's going to live by it. Now, the arrogant one is the one who follows Satan, who works, maybe Christian, maybe religious, whatever he is. But he does not believe, in this case, it is not a Christian, doesn't believe in the coming Messiah, doesn't come in that solution. But boy, he does. People, you and I have the solution. We have the power of the Holy Spirit in us. We know Jesus Christ is coming. We know he's going to call us. We know he's going to call us home as a church, as well as individually. And so, what is the few days on earth matter? We just live by that faith. And it puts all these big problems into a proper perspective. Puts them into a proper perspective. Now we'll go back to John. So this is the battlefield. What I want to show you from Habakkuk, this is the battle all through human history. We saw it with Job. We can spend time right now reading parts of Job. Same thing. That God, what is God doing and how long is it going to happen? When troubled time comes into your life, people, this is when your faith is tested. Is God worthy of your faith? Is God worthy of your trust? Well, I don't know. My marriage is falling apart. My health's falling apart. My life's falling apart. Got cancer, this, that. America's falling apart. On and on. What's God doing? Is he here? Does he care? And now you've come to a real wonderful place of battle. Is God worth your trust? Is your view of God, well, if he doesn't do something, I don't trust him anymore? Because that's where the disciples have to decide. They're waiting on the kingdom. The kingdom's not coming, people. Not the kingdom you want. Well, then what is coming? You'll see. And it's something greater. And you're going to be a part of it. But what I want us to see is, you think of these things and you have to decide, is he really worth it? And there are so many people. I'm talking with different people on the phone right now and out of the state and in the state and crying this, that. And there's a hurt. And just last night, the conversation, are you going to trust him? You've got to make up your mind. Are you going to trust him? Or are you going to say, no, forget it. This is where the battle is. Look at John 6. Let me just remind you of something. Look at John 6. if I can find it real quick. Yeah. John 6, this is that difficult message. Eat my flesh, drink my blood. Everybody's just, they're walking away, and let's just assume they're believers. Walk is an argument whether they were or not, but let's say there are believers and they're walking away. And in verse 67, Jesus Christ, look, verse 66, and as a result, many of his disciples withdrew. They're walking away. So I'm going to say they're believers. They called their his disciples, withdrew, they stopped following, were not walking with him anymore. Jesus therefore said to the 12, do you want to go away also? Or you do not want to go away also, do you? And the Greek here is not anger. It's very tender. Do you want to leave also? And you have to make up your own mind, people. And Peter, I love Peter. It's one time when Peter shines. Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And I don't like what's happening in my life. I don't like what's happening in my country. I don't like what's happening here in my marriage. But I'll tell you something. I trust you. That's when you're in the battle, people. That's when you're in the battle. And even your friends may judge you. All these things going on, you're in the battle. And that's what he's talking about in our passage. This is a powerful passage. Jesus Christ is commanding them to live by faith. Now, Satan hates believers who live by faith. For our faith allows God to act in our lives. Our faith in God is the way we receive His strength, His peace, in the midst of Satan's siege. Look at verse 30 in chapter 14. Verse 30. I will not speak much more with you, for the ruler of the world, that's Satan, is coming, and he has nothing in me. Now, what he's talking about is a multitude of things, but what the result is going to be, we're living in a time of Satan's domain. And the whole battle is going to be faith. Faith is vital to each of us. So let's spend a few moments tonight in dealing and looking at faith. Faith is passive. By that I mean it's not an active verb. We talk about what do we do, D-O, and Jesus Christ in John 6. John 6 talks about this is the work that you believe. And a lot of people have a lot of trouble with this, but it's what we call a passive verb. Passive verb. And by the passive verb means you receive. The subject, let me just tell you what a subject receives. Action of the verb. Subject receives. So, you and I trust Him, say for salvation 1, salvation 2, blessings, guidance, deliverance, whatever it is we're trusting Him for, and we receive it. In other words, it's not an active verb. An active verb is where you and I do something. This is one of the reasons we call. Some people say we're splitting hairs. No, invite Jesus into your heart. People, let's take a look at that. You invite Jesus into your heart. First of all, there's no such thing in the Bible. Nowhere are we told to invite Jesus into our heart. It's non-biblical. But boy, has it caught on. Why has it caught on? Because man loves to do something. I get to invite Jesus. It's an active verb. You actively invite Jesus. You get to do something. And people, faith is not an active verb. It's a passive verb. This is not splitting hairs. It's fundamental to the very foundation, the very character of what is faith. The very character of faith is that it is passive. The very character of faith is that we do nothing. We simply believe in Him and He gives to us. It's that simple. But people just continually want to do for Him. Now, I point this out because the disciples received a troubled heart by the circumstances, and now, by faith, they're going to receive the solution to the troubled heart. They're going to receive the solution. Now, since faith is important to John, important to our study, important to the gospel, let's take up a few notes on faith. Now, let me just quickly say this. People, number one, books are written on faith. Books. I'm going to cover in a few points. Whoa. So, we're going to leave out a lot. I want to highlight the main things. We could argue this was one of the fun things. There are a few things in seminary that when you are in the ivory tower of seminary and you think you just know it all and there's nothing else to do, you can argue about hyper-Calvinism. You can argue about faith. There's just a few things. You can always go find somebody at 2 in the morning that's awake and they'll argue with you. And you can just get into these arguments about what is faith and what isn't faith. But let's see if we can start putting our handle on some concepts of what is this thing called faith. Point one. Jesus Christ's solution is the same all through Scripture. As we saw well stated in the small book of Habakkuk. Believe God, believe me, believe the Spirit. We walk by faith, we live by faith. Over and over and over in different ways, it all comes back down to faith and belief. I am so amazed how people, oh, well, you still have to be good. You still have to join the church. You still have... It just boggles my mind how the faith is just all through the Bible. And yet people don't want to see that. Now, let me write something on the board for you. You don't need to turn to it. Hebrews chapter 11, 1. Hebrews 11, 1. You can write that down. Now, faith is the assurance. Faith is the assurance of things. I have a reason for doing this with you tonight. Of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Okay, people, there's your battle. The disciples will not see Jesus Christ anymore. Physically. They will by faith. The disciples will not see the kingdom that they were waiting on. But Jesus Christ will be a reality in their lives and in their service. So, what I'm showing you right there with the disciples, here is their solution. Faith. The assurance of things not seen. Remember, I tried to show you that the disciples walked by sight. They followed Jesus. Jesus went to the northern kingdom of Galilee. They followed him. Jesus went to Samaria. They followed him. Jesus go down to Jerusalem in spite of Thomas saying, okay, let's go. We're going to kill anyway. We're going to die anyway, so let's just go. I love Thomas. I can't wait to meet him in heaven. I mean, he just, Peter, I mean, the Lord just picks them, 12 great guys. And I'm sure that Philip and Andrew and some of them we don't know very much about were just as good as Peter and Thomas. But walk by sight. No longer walk by sight. See, this is what Christians want to do today. Well, God loves you if everything's going well. You made the right decision if everything's going well. You're living right if everything's going well. We walk by sight. And if things start going bad, ooh, what did I do? Ooh, I must have done something bad. Oh, I offended God. Oh, this, oh, that. Oh, you offended God, and you're not doing it right. And on and on and on. We play this game. What are we walking by? Walking by sight. We want to see. We want to see the gold and the silver. We want to see the results. And often you'll never see them. Never. In this life. So how do I know their reality? Are we foolish? No. This is where our faith. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Here's the solution to a broken heart. Here's the solution to a broken heart. Solution to a broken heart isn't for God to bring in the kingdom. Solution to their broken heart is not for a troubled heart. The solution to their troubled heart is not for Jesus Christ to remain on earth. That's not the solution. That would have been appeasement. He would appease them. Oh, well, okay, I won't go. I don't want you guys hurting that much. And he would appease them. And they would have never made it. They'd have never grown. It's the way parents do their children. We appease our children sometime. We don't really train them and teach them. We appease them. And since they stop crying in the store, and since they stop doing that, we think we've done a good thing. No, you haven't. No, you haven't. You've even weakened them more. You've weakened them all the more. Jesus Christ is getting them to learn to walk by faith. This is the journey of our life, to walk by faith. He doesn't want more faith, but the circumstances of our faith may be more demanding of that grain of mustard seed. And this is what he's looking for us to do. With us, faith that he has come, that he came and died, rose again. That's Christmas, Easter. He's coming again. Our hope. That's our hope. Coming again, our confidence. These are the things that you and I live by. That's why the whole 11th chapter of Hebrews is such a great chapter, people. It's all about the heroes of faith. Abraham lived his life intent. You know why? Because he believed in the promise given to him. Jesus Christ, you know why he went to the cross and died? Because he believed God would raise him from the dead. So beautiful the things that are going on in the Bible if we would just trust him. Point two. What is faith? What is faith? I'm going to simplify it the best we can. This is not a big argument thing. There's probably 1,000 things we could say here, but let's just note some. Faith is an act of trust. It's a rest. What I mean by this is that I can claim that I believe, and I use this illustration because I know of no other simple way to do this. I can claim that I believe this chair will hold me up. And I can claim that all I want, that I believe that. But until I go over and sit in that chair, rely on that chair to hold me up, there is no faith in the sense we have it here. And it's all going to depend, we'll come back to this, but it all depends on the sufficiency of that chair. It doesn't depend on me. It does not depend on me. You could have this chair, and Jim Passmore had to fix me up one that looked just like it because he felt in a good feisty mood, and put it up here, and it's made out of paper. But boy, the way he made that thing, it looks exactly like that one. Now, so the sufficiency of that chair holding me up has nothing to do with my faith. I can have all the faith in the world, that chair will hold me up. If that chair isn't going to hold me up, it isn't going to, no matter how much faith I have. It doesn't matter. It depends on the object. So faith is the act of our self-will, an act of consciously resting in the sufficiency of someone or something. And faith is submitting to that person or object to perform on your behalf. You can see from this that faith depends completely on the object, completely not on the faith at all. I hope you understand we're not saved by faith. We're saved by the work of Christ on the cross. We're not saved by faith. Faith is the means of accessing it. But don't ever think that faith is that we're saved by faith. Faith is a conscious act. Faith is a response of resting in the power and or the sufficiency, in this case, of God. in our example, my faith in that chair will be exercised only when I actually go over and rest in the strength and the sufficiency of that chair to hold me up. I can stand here and say, I believe the chair will hold me up. I believe the chair will hold me up. But until I go over and sit down in it, I'm not acting on that faith. So this is the faith in action type thing. The second part of this, faith is letting the person or object perform in your behalf. Right now, the chair is not acting in my behalf. It's just sitting there. But when I go over and sit in that chair, it is now acting in my behalf. When I trust in Jesus Christ, He acts in my behalf. Faith is how I access His work. Faith is how I access the work of the Holy Spirit. We simply trust Him to do His part. If an act of faith, then I will sit and let the chair perform in my behalf. Hold me up. Sustain me. Believe in Jesus Christ as my Savior. Hold me up and sustain me. And I am so sorry that so many people believe that He will all of a sudden pull a chair out from under you and not support you because He doesn't think you're worthy. Oh, the idea that you can lose your salvation is just so abominable to God, and it just defies so much understanding of Scripture. That somehow He said, come over here, and I come over, and then I sit down, and all of a sudden He just collapses. Well, I don't like you anymore. And so the chair ceases to be. People, the chair is not going to cease to be what it is. And neither is our Savior. And neither is the Holy Spirit. And the third principle under point two, faith is passive. Faith receives from the object of faith. Faith receives from the object of faith. We receive being held up by the chair. We do nothing about it. We do nothing to help the chair. We receive from the chair being held up. It is completely dependent on the chair, the object of our faith. It's passive. I don't do anything to help that chair sustain me. All I did was receive it sustaining me by trusting and sitting down. So faith, trust, is relying on God to perform in my behalf. I believe in Jesus Christ to perform His work in me. What is His work? Eternal life. Propitiation, reconciliation. I believe in the Holy Spirit to perform His work in me. What is that? Starts with restoration from sin. Giving spiritual life, because life comes from the Spirit. All of His work, the divine nine, teaching, guiding, convicting, leading, all the wonderful ministries of the Holy Spirit by just trusting Him. What Jesus Christ is saying here is trusting God, trusting Him. And your heart is troubled, trust me. And that puts your heart to calmness. Just sit down in the chair, rest. And it puts your legs, puts your life at ease. He is sufficient to take care of your needs. These men do not know all that is going on. They don't know hardly anything going on. I'm sorry. A couple of women, I think, knew a little bit more than these men. They have no idea what's going on. But first thing out of our Lord's mouth, trust me. When push comes to shove, He's done a lot of teaching. He'll do a little bit more in the Garden of Gethsemane, a little bit more in the upper room. But it just comes down to, okay, man. And I'm paraphrasing and not even paraphrasing the Lord, just putting words in His mouth that He didn't say. You're so stupid. You're so self-centered. You're so emotional. You're so occupied with yourself. Let me just give you the simplest of all truths. Just trust me. I know what I'm doing. And do you realize what that does? Okay. I trust you. I don't know. I just trust you. That's so beautiful, people. I don't really have to know, do I? I don't really have to figure it out, do I? What I really have to do is just trust you. Sit down in the chair. Just rest in you. Trust you. That's all I have to do. Oh, people, it's wonderful if he gives us some information and we can fill it in here, we can fill it in there. But the bottom line is, you just trust me then. Can you do that? Will you just do that, man? And of course they didn't, but that's how simple it is. Just trust me. That's my simple message to you. And you'll be shocked at what it'll do to your soul. I don't teach. I teach that we do not trust one another. But I love one line in a movie, interesting movie, a fun movie, A Blast from the Past. And if you've ever seen it, but anyway, the son comes back down, the father's and the mother's underneath the ground in a bomb shelter. And the son comes down and he says, I'm going to have to go back up. Oh, no, stay down here. And I've got to take care of some things. And well, what do you got? Dad, just trust me. And I love the scene. Okay. And, of course, the girl turned. She couldn't believe that a parent would say that to a son. But that's all God is just saying. Just trust me. Will you just trust me? Okay. And then what happens when you trust? What happens when you've got to really trust Him? This is important now. I trust you, but what are you doing? And how long is it going to happen? And I'm going to fall apart. And let me down. No, I trust you. And that's why faith is a moment-by-moment battle. Because we're so prone to take it back. We're so prone to take the burden back on our shoulder. No, just trust me. Okay, I trust you. And Lord, I'll be out by the pool sunbathing when you've worked it all out. That's trusting Him. I just trust you. And very few Christians understand this battle in the time in which we live. And faith is getting weaker and weaker in America and in the world, I believe, to just simply trust Him. So the endurance of faith is the battle. Means that we continue to trust Him. We saw last night that the faithfulness of God does what? The faithfulness of God brings about the continuance of His love. He's not going to withhold His love because of His faithfulness. So we saw this. We studied this last night. And now we see this same principle. You have the continuance of faith. And as you continuance of faith, you have the continuance of that peace in your soul. The minute you take it back, then you're wrestling again. You're wrestling. You're not out by the pool sunbathing. You're wrestling. You're trying to solve the problem. So the endurance of faith means that we continue to trust Him moment by moment, even when there's no reason to do so. That's what's happening tonight with the disciples and will happen to them for the next several days. In fact, the next 40, 50 days. And then the ascension will occur and then I'll get some more information. So a lot is going on. Well, we'll resume at point 3 next Wednesday night. Simple but fundamental study. Heavenly Father, the issue becomes so simple that we have to decide, are you sufficient for our faith? Do we really believe that you are sufficient? That if we just trust you, that all things will work together for good. Our faith is not about the circumstances. Our faith is very simple. Do we consider you sufficient? Do we consider your Son sufficient? Do we consider your Spirit sufficient for our faith? To take no matter what is happening and turn it to good. Pray that you'll take the things we've seen tonight in regard to faith, have them become a reality in our soul. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.